We've been dealing with struggle. We are struggling in so many areas of our lives. Most of them we have to keep to ourselves because we know that people will not understand the struggle that we're in. You can't expect somebody to understand what you're going through if they haven't went through it. And in most cases, it's hard to tell anymore who's actually been through it. Because the church is full of perpetrators. Instead of keeping it real, we like to play games. We want you to think with this and think with that without actually being who we are in God and showing forth the love and the purpose of God. There's always some type of struggle that is going on in our life. My Lord, I wish I could say there wasn't, but there is. So we're going to work our way through the struggle. We're going to fight our way through the struggle. Struggle is something when you are into it with someone or you're fighting or you're violently trying to take control of things. And we're violently trying to take control of our lives. We're doing it in Christ. We're doing it in the Word. We're doing it by standing upright and being who God has called us to be instead of who people think we are. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God is pulling the cover off of people's this time. He's pulling the cover off of them because he wants others to know that he has some people in the earth that are real about the things of God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. Open up your Bibles to the book of Acts. As we talk about the struggle, we're going to talk about a man, the 9th chapter, who was in one of the biggest struggles of his life. One of the biggest struggles. His struggle was the fact that he was caught between a rock and a hard place. He knew about God, but he didn't know God.
Right.
A lot of times, just because of the struggles that we're going through that prevent us from actually knowing God. And then others, there's struggle that they go through that draw them closer to God. Because some of the struggles we go through, it make us call upon his name. Sometimes folks haven't prayed in I don't know how long, but let them get in a struggle. They'll call upon the name of the Lord. Amen. Let things not be going right. We'll make God all kind of promises. Lord, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, knowing that in the depths of our minds and in our spirits, we really aren't going to change. We just need some help at that moment. And then once God delivers us, or gives us the strength to go through it, we're like the little boy out in the river. That's all right, God, I got it. I made it. Not realizing that we couldn't have made it if the log hadn't drifted along in the first place. It could have went east. It could have went west. It just happened to go south, the area that you're in. Amen. His name is Paul. He had this struggle in his mind. And see, the thing about it is, after he finally gave his heart and life to God, he still had struggles. His struggles actually got worse. Before that, his struggles was easy because his struggle at that time was where to find the Christians. And then when he found you, he had the struggle of whether he wanted to throw you in a lion's den or put you on a cross or burn you or whip you till you couldn't cry out no more. But the struggles we're going through these days are the same struggles that we don't realize that Jesus went through. That's why he made this, he's quoted the scripture that says, the same things that I do, you shall do also. And you shall do even greater. Because even though the struggles that he went through, he knew it was going to cost him his life, he wants us to cost us our lives too. Not our physical life, but a natural life, that life of our mindset, that condition that we're allowing to control and to lead us, that trouble that's in our lives that stops us from praising and worshiping God, the situation that we're dealing with that doesn't allow us to call up praise. You know, I used to think when you offered up a sacrifice of praise, that was a good thing. But I'm finding out that God wants you to offer up a praise without having to sacrifice it. I think he hears a praise report or prayer and worship that is just given to him because you love him more than when you're going through a struggle and you have to make yourself praise him. It's just like giving. God wants you to come as a cheerful giver. You give it unto God, your praise and your worship.
Yeah.
But this man here, my Lord, it's not that he was very intelligent, very knowledgeable about scripture. You could tell him nothing about the Old Testament from Genesis to Matthew that he didn't know. He could lead you and guide you and trip you up and do whatever he needs to do because he understood the word. But see, that's the problem. The letter killeth, but the spirit maketh alive. Sometimes we can have too much of the letter and not enough of God. And that was his situation. His mind, he was so invoked in his spirit and in his mind that he was determined to do what he thought he had been called to do. Not realizing that after he got to a certain age, he actually called himself. In the first verse it says, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound in Jerusalem." He didn't have no respect to person. He didn't care what you was. "And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said," I'm not going to stop there. "And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he trembled and trembling and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus." It's amazing how God operates. It's amazing. When he gets ready to do what he's going to do, can't nobody stop him. It says, and a lot of times when God delivers us, we're doing exactly what he was doing. We're breathing threatenings. And thinking about who we're going to slaughter. Or basically who we're going to get even with. Who's done us wrong. Who's persecuted us. Who we're going to get over on. So he went into the high priest and desired him letters to Damascus, to the synagogue. And you have to remember, when you have this type of mindset, when this old nature is controlling your life, there's going to be also always somebody that's going to be in cahoots with you. You know who I'm in love with? I'm in love with the saint of God who see me in error or pull me to the side and say, you know what, maybe you ought to try it like this. Amen. There's somebody that's always saying, way to go.
Right. Yeah.
And they know I'm going the wrong way.
Right.
And that's what the priests were doing. They were helping him go the wrong way. But because of where he was in his mind, what they said to him was the law.
Yeah.
And it was a pass to do bad. And you got to realize something, even though he was doing all this stuff with the word, he knew the word, he knew how God felt about the word and what God had spoke to him in his word, but he still was content on doing this. Why? He was content on doing it because of himself.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. He had set a goal for himself. Yeah. You better make sure you're setting the right goals today.
Right.
He told him, he said, I don't care whether they men or whether they women. If they say they know this Jesus, I'm going to bind them up and I'm bringing them to Jerusalem. But see, the good thing about it is, I know when I was in the midst of all my stuff in my head, and I was convinced that everything that I was doing was okay. Now, I'm studying the word. I'm praying, even fasting. But I had to convince myself with the word that I was okay. Even though God said, you know you're wrong, right? And I sit there and I meditate and I find me a scripture and say, Lord, it's all right. Then I'd always say, well, guess what? Joy coming in the morning. I make it all right. That's what the old boy does. He tricks you into making it all right. Because he likes keeping you in that stagnant state. When God is trying to bring us up and teach us and guide us into all of his truths. So here he is in this struggle. He's on his way to, he's journeys on his way to Damascus. And suddenly, suddenly there shined a light all about him from heaven. I know what that's all about. When I got saved, I don't know if Brother Andy remember, we were doing television. This was years ago. And I went to the back. I was sitting on the baptismal steps. And I was sitting there. We had just finished. It was about 11:30, 12 o'clock. We used to tape on Wednesday morning. And I was sitting there contemplating what I was getting ready to get into. I had got a couple beats from some guys. I knew what they had. So I was sitting there trying to decide which one I wanted to go fellowship with. Because that's what that was my mindset. The old man was happy with me because I was doing exactly what he wanted me to do, to be disobedient to God. Well, I'm running the television camera. I'm around all this anointing. You think it moved me? Not a bit. I'm still sitting back there contemplating. All of a sudden, Brother Hart screamed out, I don't know what he screamed. He just screamed at the top of his lungs like he used to do. And something touched me while I was sitting on them steps. Something touched me, and it was like I saw light. All the darkness that I had envisioned, all the darkness I had been seeing, had just seemed like it evaporated, and I could see clearly for once. And God spoke to me. He said, it's time for you to make a life-giving change. And I sat back there and I asked God to forgive me. Well, I heard it enough. I knew what I had to do. I knew what to say. Asked God to forgive me. And I asked him into my life and it felt like something dropped off for me. So I understand what Paul is going through. This light shined about him. This tremendous light. Well, this anointing embodied him, surrounded him, and impressed him. And when that happens, all you can do is fall to the earth. That was his first thing of repentance, by falling to the earth. You have to understand, if you read the works of this man, you find out he was very proud, arrogant, self-exalted, and boisterous. So for him to fall to the ground because of a light shining upon him or the anointing touching him, that's something fantastic. So, here he is, he fell to the ground. Well, why would he fall to the ground? Because we come from the ground. He fell to the Adama. He fell to that which we come from. The man come from. He fell to it. In submission unto God. And see, it's amazing. You ask yourself, if just a light shined about him, why would he fall? There's no reason for him to fall to the ground. But I'm telling you, when you seek God, see, most folks don't believe it, but I actually believe that Paul was looking for a better way. Most times the people you want to be like are the people you give hell. I've seen it so much. So he's giving them the blues, the Christians. But see, I'm pretty sure, according to scripture, that God had already searched the intents of his heart. And he saw that there was something in his heart that was not ruled by his nature. And if he could reach him, and what he did was, he didn't say, Paul, come up hither. He came down and he met him. Right where he was, in all of his evilness and his iniquity and his sin and his doing evil and doing bad, God came down and met him right there. Yeah. Didn't tell him, Paul, you go to hell.
Right.
And he fell to the earth. he submitted himself and heard a voice saying, you'll never hear God talking to you unless you first submit yourself to him. Most folks haven't done that. That's why they always think they hear God. When we started growing up in church, we had a bunch of folks that used to love prophesy over you. They catch you going up the aisle. They catch you in the back. They catch you in the bathroom. They follow you to the bathroom to tell you what thus saith the Lord. And you looking at them like, okay. When is all this going to happen? That's when I first started understanding the flesh. Flesh likes to exhort itself. It likes to build itself up so that you'll think that it's something special. So many things come to mind when I think about how God operates and how God moves. I tell this story about when we used to go to Chicago. We used to go to Chicago to take Sister E.R. Allen, and she used to have this guy in her church. And I was astounded by him. The reason I was astounded by him, in a room this size, they didn't have any chairs against the wall. And he would shout from one this end to that end. Make a turn, go across to the other wall. Come back up to this wall and cut back across. And he'd do about 3 or 4 times. And when we first started going down there, I was impressed. I said, man, this guy must really know God. He dancing around here. He ain't walking into no walls. He ain't doing nothing. So one day, we were setting up and the camera was on. And I decided I was going to follow him. I think Brother Andy was out in the truck. They were getting the tapes and everything ready. And I followed him with that camera. And I zoomed. You can get real close on somebody with that camera. And I zoomed in on him with that camera. And when he got ready, when he got to that wall, his eye opened. And he made that turn. I'm still on him with the camera. When he got to the other wall, his eye opened. And he made that turn. I say, man, he full of it. I thought he knew God. I thought he was doing that with his eyes closed. I was so impressed. But see, God, when the flesh starts to get exalted because of what you see instead of what you know, God will pull the cover off of it for you. And I was disappointed. And I realized something. Now, as I think about it, the flesh has a way of making itself look good so that it can impress somebody. You have to understand something. The Pharisees, the priests loved Paul. Saul was their man. Saul killed more Christians, persecuted more Christians, afflicted more Christians than all the other Pharisees and Sadducees together. And he was good at it because he practiced it. My God, after you done about 300 or 400 folks, you done get good at it. So God, just like God saw Abraham when Abraham was on the mount praying, and God realized that his faith in that he was praying to this unknown God, this unreal God, God said, if he can have that faith for that, how much faith will he have for me? And God looked at Paul and said, if this man can be this diligent about doing what he's doing now, and it's wrong, how much more diligent will he be if I show him who I really am? God can't show us who he really is unless we first change our thoughts and our ideas and our principles until we're renewed in the very center, in the depths of our minds. So here Paul is, and I get tickled when I read scriptures because I see stuff sometimes that I don't know if I'm actually supposed to see. As he fell to the altar, he heard Jesus said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Well, I know he's thinking, I ain't done nothing to you. See, his old man hadn't let him realize. He heard the Christians talk about how they were brothers and how they loved one another and how they cared about each other, but it hadn't comprehended because he already had this certain mindset. So, and he said, now, This is what Saul said. Now remember, all he hears is a voice. He doesn't see nobody. But he has the nerve to say, "Who art thou, Lord?" I can't see you, but I want to know, who art thou, Lord? And then I said, well, Lord, how is it that he understood? And I heard God say, the reason he knew who I was, even though he couldn't see me, because my brother knew me. Y'all gonna get that in a minute. And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecuted. Is it hard for thee to kick against the prince? Why are you wasting your time? You cannot win this battle. You've been going here and there and to and fro, messing with me, messing with people that love me, have me in them. You can't win this battle. So why are you wasting your time beating and fighting against the air? That's why he wrote so many verses. If I was like such and such, beating and fighting against the air, a boxer wasted my time. He wrote these scriptures. He wrote this book, these books, because of the understanding that he received from the things he went through. So when he finally realized that something is happening here, that is out of my control, I am no longer in control of this situation, he began to tremble and he was astonished and said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? I can't see you, but I know you're Jesus. And I like the measure of faith. Pastor Art was teaching on faith. I don't mean to talk about Pastor Art, but it seemed like he's just bubbling in my spirit lately. And he was teaching on faith, and God said, that measure of faith that is in all of us is a homing beacon for God to find us and to bring us back to himself. He knew exactly what he was doing. And he was astonished. And the Lord said, arise, be quickened. Realize that there's a change taking place in your life. You're quick. I'm changing you right now. Arise. First thing you got to do is separate yourself from who you were so that you can become who he wants you to be. And go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. See, God done put him in a situation where he can't see. And he's got to believe whatever he hears. So he's got to stand, even though he's got to believe in the word that he's already studied. Now you know he knew the book of Isaiah about the branch. He knew the verses. So he had to trust God. Sometimes God will allow us to blind ourselves so we'll learn to trust him. Lord Jesus, ask me how I know. Sometimes I feel like I'm walking blind. And I have no choice but to trust Jesus. And he shall told thee what thou must do. And the men with I like these guys. And the men with journey with him stood speechless. They stood speechless. Hearing a voice, but seeing or perceiving no man. But what I like about that, when Saul rose from the earth and when his eyes were open, he saw no man. See, I mean, now we know he's blind, right? We know he can't see. So why is his eyes open? It's talking about the supernatural. When he arose from the earth, that means he actually separated himself from the old man, who he was and who he was representing. When he stood up, he left that part of his life. And when he stood up, his eyes opened, not that he could see what's in front of him, but the thing was, he could now perceive and understand that it was the Christ. Sometimes we go through our struggles in our lives so that we can come to the understanding that he is with us. He has moved in the small, simple ways to let you know that he's with you all the time. I love it when God shows me that you a screw up, but I'm still your God. That's what blesses me, Brother Tony. When I know I done messed up, and God will start to worry within my life and say, don't worry, son. But Lord, I'm in trouble. Remember, all things work for the good to them that love God. Do you love me? I love you, Lord. It's going to work out then, even though you're the one screwed up. And then God expects you blindly to believe the word that he's given you so that you can apply it to your life and run this race. Oh, my God. He opened his eyes. He saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. Who led him? You ever think about that? At first, I used to think, Brother Andy, that some of the other disciples were leading him. But it was the guys that were with him. The same guys that were traveling with him were the same ones that led him. So, answer this for me. Why is it that Paul couldn't see what they could see? Sometimes you'll hang around folks and they won't have the same call on their life as you had. You'll see things that they don't see. You'll hear things that they don't hear. But don't let your mindset convince you that you're just like them. You might have been through what they've been through, but you don't have to be just like them. So here they're leading Paul, the very guys that he was with, that was going to do the same thing he did. See, God called you when you was in your mother's womb and he separated you to be who you are. That's why we have to be who we are in God and not try to be like somebody else, copycat somebody. The mind will tell you, if it works for them, it'll work for you. It don't work like that. I thought it did because I allowed folks to convince me that it did. Oh, glory. I'm almost done. You may not believe it, but I am. I really am. Thank God. Led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight. Not being able to see, only having to have faith in the word that God had given him and trusted and believed that the people who he had been led to had the same God in them that was talking to him so that he didn't have to worry about his well-being. I tell folks all the time, you better make sure you align yourself with people that want what you want from God. I don't care how powerful, how anointed you are. I don't care if you can quote scripture from back, from Genesis to Revelation, and from Revelation to Genesis. I don't care how powerful you think you are. If you spend most of your time around people that don't want what you want from God, they'll suck the life out of you. And that was one of the reasons for God separating him so that he could minister to him. Now don't think for 1 minute that once you get yourself right, folks ain't going to still be scared of you. Because all they going to remember is what you did, not who you become. And your mind is telling you, I don't know why they don't forgive me. I'm different. Yep, you sure are. But you still look the same. And if you look the same, they're imagining that you're still the same person. But how do you win them? By allowing your mind to be changed and transformed by this word so that you can live according to this word, resisting yourself, bringing yourself into subjection to the power of God that you can show forth the love and the mercy of God. Let me tell you, the only thing that's going to be around in this earth is the word of God, and the word of God is the love of God. So you better align yourself with the word of God so that the love of God will manifest itself in you. You know what? All these folks that are acting crazy, they grew up without love. And then the loves they had wasn't the right ones. He was without sight for 3 days. I like that. He was without sight for enough time for the Father to reveal himself to him, for the Holy Ghost to reveal himself to, and for Jesus to fill him. He neither did eat nor drink. I like it because we know that when Jesus came up out of the water, it said the Spirit of God actually led him up into the wilderness, took him into the situation he was about to go into. Well, these guys, even, my God, even though they could not see Jesus, remember, Paul couldn't see him either, but he heard him. Well, you have to ask yourself, if they heard him, something must have happened to them too. Because faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. And we know that in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Jesus is that word. So it had to influence their lives also. To see this man, this powerful man, this antagonizer, this persecuting afflicter of other people, fall to his knees. He neither eat nor drink. And there were a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, and he said, behold, I am here, Lord. When you come to a place in your life, when the struggles that you're dealing with and that you're going through can't separate you from who you are in God, you will hear God speak to your spirit and say, don't worry, I am here. You know what? That's just like my Lord. What was that? I had a little gray car. Blew the engine in that car. Some of everybody tried to work on that car. They messed that car up horrible. Sat right in the garage. They did so many things to that car. I used to go see that car, I cried. I put some nice rims on it, had a nice stereo in it, everything. I'd see that car, I cried. This is how God works. I had been giving Brother Andy the blues. I have been giving him the absolute blues. When he said, I didn't listen. When he said do, I didn't do. Just aggravating him. Because that's what I came from. I come from aggravation, so that's the only way I know how to cover. Act around it. I got up one day and I come across here and I open the garage. Guess who was in there putting that engine together? He put that engine together all by himself. And I drove it out of the garage. And God said, see, you just don't know. But I'm going to show you. Everybody that's in the flesh ain't fleshly. People love you in spite of who you are. And what you do. And how you act. That's when my life started making a change. Because I realized that it was something to this thing more than what I had been thinking myself it was. Oh, I used to laugh. I used to see folks shouting, I'd laugh. I go, they so funny. Folks be praying, I said, they just as phony. God is no joke. Until I come to church one night, Brother Hart required that we come to church at least one night out of the week. Well, that was easy. I come on Friday night, just before I went out. Felt good about going out. I went and saw the Lord, I'm going out now. Come up in here, blasted one night. It was under across the street. I was tore up. Wasn't drinking, but I snorted about $100 worth of coke. And it was easy to snort because they gave it to me. You know, flesh give you what they think you need. Just to keep you out of touch with reality. I was sitting in the back of that church. I was laughing at everybody. That was the funniest thing. I was on that coke. Everything was funny to me. You better not get up and shout. Man, the woman of God come off the platform. She said, can I pray for you? I'm looking around. Who's she talking to? She said, you young man. I go, yeah, come on, this ain't nothing. Sure. Pull me out in that middle aisle. touched me on my forehead, my $100 was gone. All my flesh could think about was, I just spent $100. And it's gone. I sat back down in my seat and I said to myself, it must be something to this thing. It must be something to this thing that I had never realized. My old man say, don't you worry, you're going to go right out and get you some more. As soon as you leave, as soon as they say, whatever they say, and they say dismiss, you go get you some more. Well, that was my intent. But when I got to the house, I walked into a fight, and they were shooting. And I decided then, you know what, I can't do this no more. I went and sat on my front porch. My mother said, what's wrong? I said, Mom, I'm done. I said, Lord, talk to me. You know, my mother say, fool, ain't no Lord, they said nothing to you. They got up and went back in the house. I'm sitting out there, I'm serious. I'm like, hey, come on, you coming with us? No, man, y'all go ahead. I'm straight. I'm going to sit right here till I get ready to go to sleep. And that's when I realized that it was something more to ministry than what I had conceived it was, because I had been tricked and seduced by my own thinking, by my own ideas and principles, just like Paul was. He was seduced by his own ideas and principles, and he used the word of God to persecute and to afflict, because he was operating out of the word, out of his flesh. So in actuality, he was living according to the law and not by grace. But I'm excited because God said, you saved by grace. And I made opportunities for you to get into this word and realize that no weapon that is formed against you has the power to overwhelm you, destroy you, or take you down as long as you recognize who I am. And most times when you recognize Jesus, you already know who he is, you're in the midst of the biggest storm of your life. And can't nobody help you. All the advice they've given you is how they made it through. It's just saying, Jesus, help me get through it. I did this, I did that. I fasted for 40 days. I prayed for 3 nights in a row. I didn't drink nothing but water. I went to every church in the city, and I got delivered. Not realizing that Jesus finally searched the intent of their heart and found out that they meant well. So he changed their life. The churches didn't do it. The water didn't do it. The fasting didn't do it. It was Christ that did it. And that's what God is doing for us. He's changing us, renewing us, getting us ready for this end time so that we can use what God has placed within us to do the work of God. Now, you're going to have a battle. It's a struggle going on within you where the old man wants to dictate how much you praise and worship and serve God, wants to dictate to you who you're going to love and how you're going to love, when you're going to have peace and when you're not going to have peace, when you're going to have joy. It says the only time you can have joy when everything is going good. God expects us to have joy when things are bad. That's what makes things get better. Everybody stand.